So when are we gonna, like, where are we starting the recording at? Is this like part of the podcast?
Reggie,
what up, man? How's it going?
Let me change my background. Last time I was on, we were talking hockey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Got the Canada USA. Oh shit! Got the Parkour Fitness. I love it.
What's going on, man?
Chilling. How's it going? That beard is fucking revolutionary right now. What the
fuck? I'm matching you.
Yeah, I got a little something. Oh shit! But thanks for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm excited to be on here with you.
Yeah. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. Since PT school, man. Wild. Yeah,
I think like 2015 or something like that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I think because that was like the last semester when all that BS happened. I think it was the spring.
Yeah,
like the year before graduation or whatever.
Yeah.
What a time.
I know, right?
So the first question I have for you is, you were named in the top 50 golf trainer in Golf's Digest. What was that like, getting that news and finding out you were in that?
Yeah, I mean, they did it a couple of years prior. So it was a lot of the people that I really kind of came to know as mentors and people that I learned from while I was in school. So 2 years after that, having the list come out again, we had one of the editors reach out in November. So we sent like credentials, resumes, things like that. So it was actually Christmas of 2019. I found out. So it's a little over a year ago. That was really cool. I mean, just kind of opened the magazine up and seeing my name there was really quite a blessing, because I mean, then seeing it alongside some of the people that I look up to, it was really cool.
Yeah. Was it surreal to see your name next to people that have been doing it like forever? And it's like, oh shit, that's me and my company. And I can imagine how awesome that feels.
It's really, golf fitness in general, I mean, it's really kind of taken on its own niche relatively recently. That golfers have really picked up training. And I mean, at least the mainstream golfers have. I mean, before it was just Tiger and no one else. I mean, that's why Tiger dominated for so long, and nobody could really catch up to him because he had put in all the work.
Yeah.
But now you have 20 or 30 Tigers running around the PGA Tour every week. So, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see that kind of dominance again. But yeah, he really kind of led the way to open people's eyes to fitness. And obviously Naples is a pretty good spot for me down here in Florida.
So yeah, like
a lot of golfers.
The golf capital of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And I know that that DeChambeau golfer guy is like really big on fitness too and working out, and a lot of the guys now are super jacked. And
yeah. Recently, I mean, he's kind of taken on like more of a bodybuilding approach, which is different for golfers. I mean, I think a lot of people do that. At least guys that have been in the gym for a little bit of time. I think they're kind of more bodybuilding. That's what kind of program they'll get into, where like we'll attack things a bit differently, make sure people are moving well first before we start to layer on strength and speed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Bryson's kind of he'll fine tune his routine, but I mean, he's gonna work at it. He'll continue to be good.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, Do you have a favorite golfer that you watch now that you like cheer for? Or because I know like back in the day it was Tiger and everything. Is there someone now that you like to watch?
I like to see Brooks do well. He kind of turns me off with
he like talks shit and like stuff, right?
Yeah, he's like a little too cool for golf sometimes. I don't know. So I mean, not he claims he doesn't practice, but. I mean, that's
oh yeah, he did say that. He's like, yeah, the only time I play golf is when I like walk into the tournament or something.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of get the impression that he doesn't like a lot of the other players, but some guys are like that.
Yeah,
but he goes out there and wins. I would say I like Rory a lot. He's a good example of kind of what I think a golfer should act and play and train. He's just kind of been a good model for kids too.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy.
Other than his fiance over text, that was
yeah. he was with her for a long time, and then they were like a week from getting married or something. He texted her like, "Sorry about it."
Yeah, what was Niaki? Sorry.
Oh yeah, the tennis player.
Yeah, I think he's hanging out with Meghan Markle actually.
Really?
Yeah.
The princess now.
The podcast drama. Yeah,
all the breaking news on entered reserve.
Yeah, at least they're hanging out like around the same time, so it's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if the princess, well, I guess she wasn't a princess at the time, but.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't like that.
That's wild, dude. Yeah, it's hard to be a celebrity and get all the attention, and then you got all these girls coming at you. Like, what are you supposed to do? You know, I guess not get married. So.
Take them off.
Yeah, for real. So you're the owner of Par 4 Fitness. What do you do differently, you think, than a lot of other golf trainers? Or like, why do people come to you, you think, for their golf fitness training and things like that?
I think just in the area, I've networked pretty well. Like, when I first came down here, I started off in the golf industry. So I was originally in the golf management program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched over to athletic training and PT. So it gave me a long time to kind of make those connections, like with the golf community down here. I play as well, so I think some of the better players resonate with that a bit better. I mean, I think they're maybe more likely to take some advice here and there, or take me a bit more seriously. So I think playing has a big impact on that as well. But it's been great just to work with some of the best players. I mean, it's always a privilege to work with professionals, and it's just a different animal. I mean, because they're so fine-tuned with their bodies and how they train, what kind of things they take in.
Yeah.
In terms of outside sources. So, whereas others, they want to try to take in as much as possible. So golfers are unique in terms of other athletes, just because it's such an individual sport.
Mm-hmm. So like, what's the biggest difference you think between a professional golfer and like the average Joe golfer when you train them?
I think it's time. So they're putting in a lot more time, obviously. And maybe not just time in general, but it's focused time. So they know what they're working on, what feels, whether it's in the gym or on the range. I think that's one of the biggest differences is just their focus and efficiency with the time. Because you don't have to practice like hours on end if it's focused.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out and have a really good session and spend an hour and a half. You don't have to spend all day.
And that's kind of good advice, I would feel like, for maybe high school or college players who want to make it to that next level. Like, hey, when I see pros, I know that the focus time is the biggest thing, so that's something maybe they can work on to get to that point.
I listen to a lot of NHLers. It's on Spit and Chicklets.
Barstool.
Yeah, so they interview ex-NHLers, current NHLers. I think time and time again, it's it's routine off the ice that makes them successful. Or if you're talking about like a middle talented player, mm-hmm. I mean, they're working their ass off to be able to play professionally. Maybe they don't have as much talent as like the top end people. But they really separate themselves from the pack just by working their tail off to make it happen. And I mean, some of them have great careers, Hall of Fame careers, but that goes across any other sport too, I think.
Yeah. That's awesome. So like in the last year, how has the coronavirus and the pandemic kind of affected how you work and the business and all that stuff? Has it been bad or not too bad?
We've shut down for 7 weeks, which I mean, probably for some of your listeners sounds like nothing. But I mean, my son was 2 at the time, almost turning 2. So that was nice to spend time with him at that point. So I mean, I was home a lot. We transitioned to being, I would come to the studio and we'd shoot function, strengthen, and perform live videos every day. Mm-hmm. So we'd send out the links to basically our whole database. I reached out to pros, offered links to them and the membership, because I knew that they probably weren't getting anything, at least as fast as we were able to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
I had some experience with like our email marketing and things like that. I could just record a Zoom session much like this and just send it out to the membership. And that worked out well. So we did that for 2.5 months, even after we opened again. Wow. Things were slow. So we did that from like March till even until like May or June. And then Elsa, who works with me, she continues some of that today. She just left to do the online session with the client. But it was busier here because a lot of our seasonal people stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Our full-time people, they weren't traveling at all. So it was nice to have people around town just to come in and see when we could reopen. But unfortunately, we got grouped in. This is it behind me. I'm in 800 square feet.
Wow.
But we got grouped in with like LA Fitness and like some of the bigger
boxes. Oh my goodness. Gyms.
So like us as a health studio had to shut down, which was obviously kind of shitty.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But how about you? Was life been for you like during this?
It was kind of weird last summer because I was working PRN part-time at the hospital and then part-time at outpatient PT. So then like the hospital was kind of nuts. Like when it first went down and like you're like in the front lines and it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, am I going to get sick? Am I going to die? Like you're watching all this stuff on TV, like in New York with, you know, these deaths and everything. And then I remember getting a text from one of my coworkers, like, it's here, like having coronavirus like in the hospital. And I was like, oh shit. And then I took like a week off because I was like, I don't really know what to do. I don't know how well they're going to handle it. And then I went back and it was kind of chaos for a little bit, like not having enough PPE and kind of not knowing how to handle everything. But once like May, June kind of rolled around, things were kind of getting not normal, but where you kind of knew what to do if you had like a COVID patient or if you didn't, and the PPE, the N95s and all that stuff. So it wasn't too crazy. And then outpatient slowed down, but luckily I still had the acute care hospital job to work, you know, really as much as you wanted because they needed all the help they could get.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, so like now it's fine, you know, but it's still kind of surreal. And I think a lot of the things at the hospital probably aren't going to go back to the way they were, like probably masks all the time and a lot more strict with like PPE and things like that. But it's been a crazy year for sure.
Yeah. I mean, at least we have jobs. I mean, I'm lucky here in Florida. I mean, since I know people in like Massachusetts, New York, and California, I mean, do the exact same thing that I do, are out. I mean,
yeah,
the dollars in some cases.
Yeah, so but, crazy. Like, especially if you had a place in California, like that state's so shut down. Like, I'm sure, yeah, like, even now, they still, it's hard to open your business or whatever, depending on what kind of place you have.
Yeah, so we've been very lucky in that sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and so you mentioned your kids. You have two kids now?
We do, yeah. Yeah, we have a 2.5-year-old, and then our daughter just turned 3 months yesterday.
Dang, nice. Happy birthday. What's life like as a dad? How's that been?
It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy the like 2 and 2.5-year-old stage, because he's like running around, he's like kind of wanting to like play and interact and like kind of take you by the hand and do some stuff, which is fun.
Yeah.
And then you start all over with a newborn again. So that's a little crazy. It's like,
it's, oh, a my lot. Gosh.
But no, she's got a little personality now too. So yeah, nice. Our son's Hendrix and daughter Poppy. So
those are the coolest names I've ever heard for kids. That is so sick.
My wife kind of thought of it mainly. So Hendrix we liked because we were gonna go with like HH name, and then she liked Poppy as a nickname. So we actually named her Penelope Quinn, but call her Poppy.
Oh, there you go. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you going to have Hendrix playing golf super young, like how Tiger Woods' dad had him like golfing at like 2 years old?
He'll hit balls. He's a little soft right now because he went out and hit balls and got a blister, so now he doesn't like it anymore.
Oh, shit.
So we gotta tough him up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to. You got to out in these streets.
Yeah. He's crossing. So he goes left hand low and just like. So he's like throwing balls across the green at people.
There you go. I'm sure he'll be a golfer in no time. He'll be a natural for sure.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big hockey fan too. You gonna have him playing hockey?
I think so. Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. I started way later. I was probably like 5 or 6 when I started skating. So I was with the Everblades my last year in athletic training.
Mm-hmm.
I still talked to the head coach, and he's like, yeah, 2 is like perfect to get him skating. So
really, 2?
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll maybe rent some skates and a little helmet and take him out.
That's a good idea. Around.
I remember my first time skating, though. It was the most frustrating thing I've ever done in my life.
So oh, yeah, for sure. It was. I remember I tried to learn to skate when I was too, like, old. I was probably, like, 8 or 9, and I was trying to learn how to skate. And it's
hard.
It's so hard. And then I think after, like, 2 weeks, I just quit. I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. I just kept falling and, like, almost falling. And, like, I'm just not going to learn how to do it. So I don't know how to skate to this day.
I think what helps is I had this friend who's a little bit of a dick. And he would come push me down because he like invited me, like got me into like playing, and he would come around and push me down. So I think I stuck with it because I wanted to like chase him around and kick his ass.
Yeah. So, that's sometimes that's what it takes.
That's why he like made me do it.
Oh my god, yeah, I remember I wanted to learn because we had like a skate rink where like everyone went. Like that was like the cool thing to do on like a Saturday night was like go to the skate rink and skate around. Like that's where all the girls were, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was so pissed that I quit. I was like, fuck, I'm never going to be able to go to the skating rink and hang out and do that stuff. But fuck it. It was too hard to learn.
Did you have a roller rink? We used to have a roller rink. It's called
Pop Wheelie. Yeah, we did. It was called Tringali Park. And it was... Yeah, like you just skate, and it was like skate night. It was like the night to hang out.
Yeah, we go there occasionally.
Oh, yeah. And so you're from Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I grew up just north of Pittsburgh. I say Pittsburgh. It's in the middle of nowhere, though.
Yeah, where's that?
We're like an hour north. So it's this little town called Stoneboro.
Stoneborough. And then how'd you end up looking Florida? How old were you when you came down here?
I just graduated high school.
Oh, yeah, shit.
So I looked at several different colleges, Penn State, Coastal Carolina, Methodist was another one too. They all had the golf program. Mm-hmm. And I had a buddy at FGCU, and I came down, stayed with him for a week. Loved it. I mean, compared to anywhere else. So it's like FGCU. Yeah. Sick. So yeah, I was like, why would I go anywhere else? So ended up down here, and I've been here ever since.
Dang. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, that's so, I guess, kind of bold to, like, just leave where you're from that you probably grew up, like, your whole life, and then coming down to a million miles away, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like 17 hours to drive home, so it's like, I gave that up right out of high school.
Yeah.
But my parents would come down a couple times a year, and then I'd go home usually once in the summer or winter, so that was my way to get back home. And that golf just kind of kept me, because I got to do my own thing. I worked a lot, played a lot of golf, and just kind of networked that way. So
there you go.
I'm glad I did. Now my parents are down here.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Win-win.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do I got for you? Do you got any other hobbies outside of golf and hockey? What else are you into nowadays?
Ah, jeez, not right now. The kids, it's hard.
Yeah,
I'm trying to like get ready for a couple of tournaments to play in the summer. The Florida State Golf Association got some stuff that I'll play in. I mean, I'm big in like listening to business stuff. I mean, this time of year, it's hard because I'm just trying to hang on for dear life because I'm seeing clients all day. So it's a little hard to keep up on business stuff from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
But in the summer, I really enjoy like planning things out, learning more and more, even if it's marketing or like bookkeeping, like things like that. It means to me, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I got into like woodworking a little bit. So it's really? I did that a little bit when I was in high school. I would just spend like 4 or 5 hours a day in our wood shop because our wood shop teacher was our baseball coach.
Nice.
And he was so cool. So mm-hmm. I signed up for art class, like 2 periods of art class and then like 2 periods of wood shop. So I talked my art teacher into letting me go to the wood shop.
Wow, there you go. So do you make like chairs and stuff?
So it's in our last house. We just moved in November, but our last house, I built the tables and like a bar. So I think I'm going to make like a bar, built-in bar area for our next to our fireplace now. So,
Oh, cool. Shit.
Yeah. So.
I thought you meant like little trinkets and like little tables, but you're building like real things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like functional stuff. So,
oh shit.
I can put all my booze on it.
There you go. Yeah. Or if I need like a table, I'll call you and you can make me something cool.
Yeah. There's these, we call them river tables. So you get these like two slabs, you cut them in half. So there's like maybe this much gap in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour epoxy down the middle. So it's, you can do like different colors. Like these tables look sick.
What? So,
yeah. Some of them sell for like $1,000 a foot. So, I mean, we're looking for this dining room table, and it's like they're so expensive.
Yeah, $1,000 a foot.
And I'll learn to do that, and then I can make it for, I mean, probably $700 or $800.
Yeah, so, there you go. You should do that and then post it on the gram. You know.
Yeah, no, I probably will. So I gotta practice first before I purchase these labs and ruin them.
Yeah, that's an expensive hobby if you fuck it up.
Yeah. So I've been watching all these YouTube videos.
that's sick. So yeah, sounds like you're constantly going. Have you always been like that, where you're like go, always doing something?
I hate sitting. Like I always complain that I never relax, but like when I get time to relax, like I try to do something.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. probably a heart attack like early.
Yeah, you're probably gonna die young.
Just chill. I got no chill. But I'll try to relax and do stuff. It's hard with kids in a new house. Like, there's so much stuff to do right now.
Yeah. So where are you now? I know your last place was in I guess up a tree line or wherever.
Yeah. We were just north of the high school there, and now we moved into Wildcat Run. So it was just right off.
First shoe
there. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Playing some golf occasionally. Yeah. So it's not much further from the studio. I'm like 15 minutes, which is nice.
Nice. I still need to stop by. I've never stopped by there before. I need to come check it out.
Yeah. If you're ever around, just let me know. Shoot me a text. I'm usually with someone, but like later in the day.
Yeah. Be good. For sure. I know. So I'm living with Derek in Estero. Derek is playing golf literally all the time. He's like a golf fanatic now.
I know.
Like hitting all the courses.
He's always at the Ritz, too.
Yeah, he is.
The Ritz, like Sarasota, the Ritz, Naples. Like, he needs a girlfriend or like.
He really does. Yeah, he's always out doing stuff. He's always golfing. I'm like, this dude's trying to go pro, I feel like. He's always golfing.
I know. Yeah, I think he broke 80 recently, I saw on his Instagram.
Did he? I could see that.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I could also see him lying about it too, so I'm not sure which one.
I think Patrick needs it out there. I think we gotta do a live golf tournament where I'll score him.
We do. I think we really, really do. Are you thinking about opening up another spot, like a location, or has that been in the plans at all?
Yeah, Smash Factor Fitness.
Oh yeah,
that was our project in school.
Smash Factor Fitness. Oh my god.
I'd like to have another spot. I think Elsa's done a really nice job here. So like, even if I could kind of refocus my time to another location, kind of develop that on my own, then I think that'd probably be the best option. Like, this area is nice, so it's like, I've been thinking about like some like franchise type opportunities too. So it's, I don't know, it's such a niche service, but there's a lot of golfers in certain areas that I think we could fit in well and have a presence there.
Yeah,
I've been learning about like just getting really good processes down and training, because I think that's really important. If you go into McDonald's here, I mean, it's the same as if you go in New York or China. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's the same quality type stuff. So like, and I see that with other franchises, at least the good ones, they're consistent. So like going that route, my problem's always been like getting clients to be comfortable with not working with me all the time.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest barrier, is if you have two locations, you're only in one spot, and then they're like, well, I want to work at Darren, and then like, how do you
so that's the goal now, is to, I would love to run a company without anybody knowing who I am.
Yeah, that's been the dream.
Yeah, so that's the goal. I like the business side of things. So like managing and doing that, it's a different challenge in itself. So I mean, at some point I think I'd pull away from seeing people all the time and have to spend more time and driving clientele, still interacting with the new clientele and just getting them comfortable with the process and people in the business.
Yeah.
That's how we have to grow. I think that's like, as any healthcare practitioner, entrepreneur wise, they have an opportunity to grow there too.
Yeah. And is the biggest way you're growing, is it word of mouth, or like, how do you get new clients? Have you seen like the most effective way?
We're mainly word of mouth. Yeah. So it's just clients, friends. We'll get some new clients. They'll chat. Like, even just this year, just like friend groups are great because they'll talk a lot. Women actually tend to be a little bit better than men.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just because the guys, it's like, man, I've got my secret weapon. I'm not gonna tell any of my other players because I want to win.
Yeah, because you want to win. Yeah.
I want to win $5 off them every other Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can see how these guys work. So it's like, they'd rather make a couple bucks on the golf course. I mean, most of them are millionaires, anyways.
That's wild. For real. Yeah. So I guess I can see, like, if you want to, if it's word of mouth, they're saying, hey, Darren's awesome. And then if they go there, like their friend goes and they don't see you, then that could be, I guess, an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I've spent some money on marketing in the past and it just doesn't really, you don't see the return on it nearly as much. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I mean, that's, you may get your money back. And so it's hard to see that. So it's done different things. I did advertise with the Everblades. But unless you're spending money like Billy Fusillo, it's it's hard to like really have enough of a presence to crack in, right? Because we're being bombarded by so much shit throughout the day that it's like, why does Par 4 Fitness matter? Why does Reggie matter? Mm-hmm. To me as a consumer, it's hard to, I guess, build that trust without actually meeting someone. I think the podcasts are great too, though, because you can get to meet people without getting to know them.
Yeah, that's true. Like you kind of
real face to hear
them. Yeah, you can hear them talk. You can see them. You can kind of listen to how they think about things. It's almost like you're meeting somebody without having to like to meet them face to face. Yeah, I think it's
yeah. You get to know them without having to meet them. But I think that's like doing stuff like this is great. I did one last week with one of my buddies up in New York. He runs another golf facility as well.
Oh, nice! It sounds like you're thinking about starting a Par 4 Fitness podcast. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know. It's I had some like different ideas of like doing interviews with like mini tour players and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I need a co-host.
I got you. But I was thinking like it would be such a cool concept of like someone like you just even like your conversations with clients. I guess if they allowed it, just that conversation would be a great podcast. Like you're with them for an hour, treating them, and I'm sure you're bullshitting while you're also working with them, and just that conversation would be something you could do.
Yeah. I think people would maybe you could put that out as basically kind of an advertisement, like a long testimonial.
Yeah, you know, because then they're also getting like what kind of cues and tips you're giving them, and if they're like semi-famous, I'm sure someone's interested in just listening to them talk or whatever. Yeah. And it can be like a short 20-minute thing, but if you do that all the time, then you have a shit ton of podcasts, a lot of content. Yeah. I think that'd be a good idea.
How many episodes do you have now?
So you'll be episode 39.
Damn, man. You're cooking.
Yeah, I'm cooking. So like I'm not really good at it, but I figure if I just do a bunch by like episode 100 or 200, I'll be pretty decent. So I'm just trying to do as many as I can.
Yeah. Plus it gets your interview skills. So you'll be on Barstool soon.
Who knows? Better watch out. Engine Reserve Podcast, part of the Barstool Network or something.
Hashtag Presidente, Dave.
Hey, let's do it. But I think that's, let me see if I got any other questions for you. Let's see, last thing, like, where do you see yourself maybe in like the long term, like 15, 20 years from now, like where do you want to be, you think? Super long
playing
term.
Golf. Playing golf 4 days a week.
There you go.
I'd like to have a few locations and maybe like around the state or even like different parts of the country. Really kind of refine what we do. I mean, that's I don't know if I really have the like not ambition, but goal of having a ton of locations, because I think that's, it makes a lot of work.
Yeah.
For maybe not as much of a payoff as having a few really good locations. Mm-hmm. Just being happy with that. But so I think that's where I see myself in 15 years, but just kind of continuing that along that path.
Yeah. And I guess if you think about it, your kids would be like 18 going to college.
Yeah. I
just thought about that. Yeah.
Life starts over again.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's quick. And then your kids going to FGCU or something, you know, it could be wild.
Hopefully it goes further than that. He needs to get away from mom. He needs to get away from mom.
He does. He's going to go to Harvard or like Stanford or something.
They can bring their college friends over after.
There you go.
Spring break or something. We'll party at Wildcat.
Wildcat run. There you go. Yeah, that's crazy to think. In 15 years, I mean, I'll be 45. You know what I mean? So that's, life comes at you quick.
Hit our midlife crisis there, bro.
Seriously, I'm having it right now. Shit. But yeah, Darren, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really
likewise. Good to catch up. We'll have to have a beer sometime.
Dude, for sure. Yeah, and I'm moving in July, so we'll have to do it before then.
All right. Sure. Yeah. You're going to Texas, right?
No, I'm going to Sarasota.
Oh, I thought you were moving further away.
Oh, I was thinking about it, and then I went to Austin, and I liked it, but it just didn't seem like it'd be the place I would want to call home. So Sarasota was it didn't have it for me. So I think Sarasota's the move, and then based off like your inspiration and your business and stuff, I'm like, I definitely need to start my own thing. So I definitely see someone that could
kind of. I know some people out there too. So if you need, just let me know.
I definitely will, for sure.
Awesome, right, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
All righty. Have a good one.
You too, man.